And so for me to be unbeatable means that I control everything in my power. If I have a competitor who's just that much better that day and I don't win, it's not my fault because I've done everything I possibly can to set myself up for success. And that's what I do with my clients. We make sure that he is all set up with all the skills, all the strategies, all the systems and the tactics to set and execute and to be as successful as possible.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is world record holder Sue Priver, and she doesn't like this term, but the coach of the Be Unbeatable program. Sue, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
No problem. So first off, we were talking before about coaching, and I know you work with people that are successful entrepreneurs and successful salespeople and business people. What about coaching kind of throws you off though?
So it's just the word. Yeah. So I'm very particular in language, and a lot of people out there are calling themselves coaches, and all they're doing is teaching people what they've already done and have people follow in their footsteps. That's more mentorship and guidance. That's not what I consider a true coach. Okay. A true coach really looks at someone, really sees them, sees their skill set, their gifts and talents, and helps them utilize that to the best of their ability and not just emulate what, you know, personally I've done or my direction. It's I work with the other people and, you know, really in a one-on-one focus session to find out more about him and how to really utilize his skills, talents, and gifts in this world.
So most people you're saying that are labeling themselves coaches have like a very formula approach to this, and people are buying into because they probably understand this is what I get and what I pay, right?
Right. And it worked for that person.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you're not necessarily have the same skills, gifts, and talents, and it may not work for you. And it's not that it's the system's broken. It's just not the right fit for you.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because like, I think I've bought programs where I wanted to like kind of learn how someone else is doing it, but I always have a hard time just modeling what someone else is doing and just doing what they tell me. I don't think that's my gift, is following direction. But I mean, you see, I'm envious of people that can just, you know, copy and make that happen. But
I also have found that it usually tends to be the same types of people who can model it, and it's meant for them and really aligns with them. And it's a certain percentage of people. You know, you find mentors and you find people out there who are similar to you, and that's why they interest you, and you follow them and you can follow their steps, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It also depends on your mindset and your mental strength. And if you're procrastinating or getting in your own way, you could have all the tools and the steps for implementation, but not able to implement it yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think everybody wants like a magic pill or bullet to make it things work. And you're saying that it's more nuanced than that. It's like, you know, don't do what someone else is doing, but first of all, understand your own strengths, right?
Exactly. And your own vision. So a lot of people never take the time to figure out what they really want. Mm. You know, what does success mean to you? How do you know when you actually get it? And so you can achieve business success to a certain level, sort of randomly. You try different things that other people have done. Some work, some don't work. And you really put together systems that work to a certain level. And then you get to the point where it's, I want that next level of success. You know, I really want to either grow my business, start something new. Totally depends on where you are in life and what, where you've gotten to. Sometimes you don't know what that next thing is, and that's when I really can help you figure out what's important to you and who are you? Have you ever taken that time to figure out not what everybody else expects of you, you know, what you grew up in your family thinking you would do, earning enough money for security for you, and if you have a family for them as well, and to leave enough financial resources for a legacy? But beyond the financial, what's really important to you? Are you spending your time in that way? Have you even taken the time to figure this out? Most people haven't.
So they don't really take the time to really even figure that out. So how much of what you're saying is informed by the fact that you're a world record holding power lifter. I feel like athletics has a formula, and it's not just like winning at the, I mean, that's nice. Like, we got to win, but you know, not everybody wins, right?
So it's actually two different pieces to that. So I have deadlifted 418 pounds, and for the international people, it's 190 kilo. And that takes a lot. It takes full mind, body, and spirit attention. And so I taught myself in the gym how to be fully present, utilizing all of my strengths, literal and figurative, so mental strength, physical strength, emotional strength, and spiritual strength, to be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish in competition. I'm a midlife accidental athlete. I didn't touch a barbell until 37.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, so I've been lifting for a number of years now, and I've gone through my ebbs and flows of getting ready for a competition, going all in, figuring everything out for energy management of food and sleep and training and recovery, and then really hitting all the numbers that I wanted at the competition, and then falling into a slump because I didn't have a next goal. I didn't know what that next level of success was. I had some pie in the sky dreams, but they were so far out there that I didn't have steps to get to them. And so now I've gone through that and figured out that that doesn't work and that's not motivating. And then it's, what's that in between where it's still big and overwhelming a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's still real.
You know, it's so interesting you said that because I was at an event and there was one of the speakers, this is like an influencer dinner that happens and it's kind of, you know, people are invited to it. And the one speaker, you know, they don't tell you who they are and they kind of talk and then you figure it out, you guess, right? And then they tell their story. And this person, she won 2 medals at the Olympics in rowing. And I think what they said was that there's like I don't want to misspeak here, but it's almost like amongst elite Olympic athletes, there's a high rate of, I don't know if it's self-harm after events, but it's almost like they're lost, right? Because it's like, you've reached that goal and like, what the hell's bigger than the Olympics? And I've trained so long, like, and you talked about it, what's next, right? So how do you make sure that you don't have that crash afterwards?
So you actually, having the crash is fine. That's to be expected. You've hit a really, really big high in success. So if it's in athletics, if it's in your business and you've sold a business, if it's, you know, getting to a certain level within a sales position, you've reached the peak, you have to come down. It's what do you do during the come down and how long do you stay there? So nature goes up and it goes down and those are the flows and that's the regular rhythm. But then it's how long do you coast? How long are you kind of bored? Mm. How long do you wait for that next thing to really get you and really motivate you to start moving forward again? So you need that rest and recovery and a little bit of downtime, but you also need to reach out either to friends, to family, to colleagues, to do something, to set a new goal, even if it's something small to work toward, like now that you don't have obligations or, you know, something has changed in your life, you have more time for something else. So it could be spending time with family, could be taking a vacation that you haven't done in forever. But then it's that next thing, what's important to you, you know, and that for me is what drives purpose-based discipline. So it's having that discipline to keep moving forward to your goals, even when you don't want to. There are days that I pull up into the gym parking lot and I'm like, man, I hurt. I don't want to go in there. It's going to be a sucky training day. And then it's, why am I doing this? Why is this important to me? What's going on? How can I refocus, get through whatever's going on, be it something completely unrelated to the gym, could be something, you know, happening in my personal life that right. I just need to set aside and say, these next 2 hours are for me, for training, and this is why. This is why it's important to me.
So reconnecting to that kind of North Star, that purpose is helpful. Exactly. And I think you kind of hit on the head. There is a risk, obviously. It's like you've accomplished a big goal and then you're done. And it's like you can have a smaller goal after, but I think there's an issue with like dopamine, right? It's like the high is a big deal. Like it's like a drug in a way. Like, and I think a lot of people are then trying to chase that feeling again, right? And it's like, well, what's the next big thing? And I think that's probably how we evolve as a species, is we're never satisfied. But it's also a risk, right? That to your point, you get stuck in a trough and you're like, you dwell on the past instead of thinking of something that's giving yourself permission for the downtime is probably a big thing, is what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm driven, I'm ambitious. I don't spend enough time in recovery. So for all the geeky people out there, if you think of a sine wave, so it's something that goes like this.
Right.
For all the really high expenditure times when you're really burning the midnight oil and really pushing and doing a lot, you need to recover. Your body needs it. Your brain needs it. Everything about you needs that recovery. And I don't mean days, weeks, whatever, but needs to be built into your schedule, like meditation or reading and learning. Things that don't require as much energy output.
That makes sense. So in your work with, with people that you've worked with, like in the Be Unbeatable program, which I really like the name. I guess, first of all, like, how did you come up with that? Like, what does it mean to be unbeatable?
Sure. So about 2 years into my lifting career, I took the platform in front of hundreds of people, including close friends and family, and of course my coach. And I bombed out, meaning disqualified. None of my squats counted.
Oh,
and
wow.
Each one got worse and worse and worse. So I was humiliated, completely mortified that it had nothing to do with the weight on the bar. It was complete mental breakdown. And for various reasons, I was given the opportunity to then deadlift, which was the third event, and do that as deadlift only, as opposed to getting all three events in that day. So of course I said yes. And I was like, I don't know how the heck I'm gonna get this and get my brain straight and get everything reorganized so that I can be successful. And the other piece of this was I was going for a huge milestone in deadlift. So just under 2 years of lifting, and I had the intention to deadlift four plates, which is 405 pounds. Wow. So it's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. And so I did. I took the opportunity. It was 2 hours. My coach basically said, leave the room, go outside, get your head right, and we're going to warm up in about an hour and a half. Eat, rest, do whatever you need to do, and just forget everything that happened. So I did. And I pulled 405 with ease.
So the same time you had like this really rough defeat, in a sense, you were able to pull off a world record.
So. Yeah. So that day wasn't a world record, but it was a personal record by a lot.
Record, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. And when I left that day, I said, you know what? There are lots of factors in powerlifting that I can't control. You know, a judge doesn't follow the rules. I can't control that. Some weird thing happens, like I get really sick right before.
Yeah.
I do my best. And so for me to be unbeatable means that I control everything in my power so that I am at my best. And if I have a competitor who's just that much better that day and I don't win, it's not my fault, because I've done everything I possibly can to set myself up for success. And that's what I do with my clients. Is we make sure that he is all set up with all the skills, all the strategies, all the systems and the tactics to set and execute and do his best to be as successful as possible. There's always something out of our control.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like, you know your strengths, connect to your purpose, kind of have a roadmap for what success looks like, but it's not just based upon the actual final outcome necessarily. It's the process, it sounds like, the system for success, and invest in that.
Right. So when I work with clients, there are three big areas that we work on or make sure that are set in place. So the first one is visioning. So as I keep asking people, it's how do you see success? What's your next level of success, both in business and in life? Do you know what an ideal day would be for you? You know, what would that look like? Who are you with? Where are you? What are you doing? Is your business part of your ideal day? And if it's not, should it be? Are you forgetting it? Or is your ideal not doing what you're doing right now? And how can you best change to something else? Then it's setting up, once you have that general sense, so it's your big goals, your big vision, then it's one of my strengths is working with you to actually bring it into this world and bring it down to earth. I'm a big grounder. So you might have all these visions and all these ideas up here, and then I help you select what's best, what makes the most sense for you, and also in your style and the best style for you and reflects you and your personality and gifts and talents. And we set up the systems and the techniques that you need to use, the skills that you need, and put that into place. And then it's execution and evaluation. So go out there, get on the field of play, take action, and don't get so caught up in acting that you just are busy. It's figuring out what your next best steps are and having the confidence to do it. And then evaluate, what's going on? What's going well that I want to keep doing? I'm not going to forget about it. I'm going to keep doing it. What's not so good and I need to stop? And what are things that can be changed and updated and reintegrated? And then start doing it in that way. And so as things move forward, each of these areas need to be adjusted, different systems put into place, different actions taken or the next best steps. You achieve some huge goal. What's the next vision?
Makes sense. That's awesome. So I like that approach, which is like, you've got a process where you're evaluating your through trial and error. You kind of have an idea of what works. You know what you want to accomplish. That's fine. How you're going to get there. And then what you're saying is getting, you know, using what works and discarding what doesn't work.
Exactly.
I love it. That's great.
And one of the big things that so many people have never had the opportunity to do before is really customize it to them. So one of my gifts is to see people and to really see them, to listen to what they're saying and what they're not saying. And for some people, this is the first time in their life that they're working with someone who sees them. It's sometimes a little scary at the beginning. It feels a little raw.
Yeah.
Like I look at you and I can see who you really are, like who you are at your core pretty quickly, what your gifts are, what your skills are, who you are when you operate at your best. And then utilize that, take advantage of it, be yourself in your best in all areas of your life. So I was talking with my dad the other night. I said, you know what? Everything's about people. That's how I operate. That's how I see the world. It's helping people one-on-one. It's connecting with them deeply. It's helping them influence other people. That's what sales is all about. It's commissions that are financial, that are not financial. Every time we interact with people, we're either being influenced and or influencing them. And it's a back and forth. And the more you can use who you truly are and your gifts and skills, then the better you are operating in the world.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Sue, I appreciate the time that you spent with me. I want to be conscious of your time.
Thank you.
Is there anything we haven't touched on that you want to touch on or share with people?
So one thing that I am offering right now is a to your audience, and really appreciate everybody who has listened this far. And I want to offer them a free Be Unbeatable strategy session.
Oh.
And in this session, there are three main things that we do. So we create a crystal clear vision of what your ultimate success is in business and in life. We also kind of get into that mental strength and mindset and uncover anything that may be a hidden blind spot for you and sabotaging your ability to be at your best. Then I really want you to leave this session ready to take action so that you're re-energized and inspired to really go after your goals and have a great life.
Awesome. Okay. So that's a great offer. So we'll make sure we put details on that in the show notes. Exactly. Sue, I'm going to wrap up with two questions. One is, how are you, Sue, changing the world?
So I work with people who have a huge impact on the world. So I connect with them deeply, and then that person then has an even bigger impact on the world after working with me. So it's sort of that ripple effect.
I love it. That's great. That's totally valid. Final question is, when we have interesting people on the show, we want you to nominate other interesting people. So we usually talk to experts or entrepreneurs. We talk about either their entrepreneurial journey or an area of expertise that can help people to either automate or grow or, you know, have daily growth in their business and life. So who would you, Sue, like to introduce us to that would be a great guest on Automate and Grow?
That is a really good question.
First name is usually the best name. who's the person that pops to your head?
So I was just working with a performance coach last month.
Okay.
His name is Todd Herman.
Okay.
And he has a book called The Alter Ego Effect. Came out a year ago, and his children's book, which I cannot think of the name of, but it's on that same theme, okay, came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, great.
Okay. And he is an amazing peak performance coach.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so Todd Herman, author of Alter Ego Effect and an unnamed children's book. Maybe it has a name, we just don't know it. You've been nominated to be a future guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. Sue, I want to thank you for your time. I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you. And I want to just thank everybody for listening and hopefully have gotten at least one golden nugget out of today.
And a bunch of them probably. So this has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.